Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at scams, consumer scams today with our two guests. We'll start out talking a little bit about seniors who have been targeted with our guest, Sandy Chalmers. Sandy is Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy, great to have you back.
Good morning, Larry.
And Michelle Reinen, who directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And Michelle, great to have you back as well.
Always great to be here.
They are going to be sharing some tips to avoid fraud, talk about some of the current scams that you may be seeing online or over the phone or whatever, maybe even in the mail. You may have caught someone trying to scam you. Whatever your question or comment or experience, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Well, let's turn to seniors first. They seem to be targets for a lot of scams, Sandy Chalmers. What types of fraud what types of people who fraud are more likely to target seniors? Let me put it that way.
We know that seniors are often targeted with these fraudulent scams. They're not the most frequent victims, which is good news. Mm-hmm. So they are vigilant. But certain types of scams do target seniors. We see a lot of mail scams involving free trips, free cruises, and that's the scam where, you know, you have to pay the fee up front to get your free cruise. There are a lot of Medicare-related scams, and that's really timely because this is the open enrollment period for Medicare that ends, I believe, December 7th. And we've heard some things from the Middleton area involving people going door-to-door claiming to be Medicare agents and wanting to sell people insurance plans or discount products. So obviously, the government doesn't sell Medicare Advantage or Medigap plans, so that's a red flag. Only private insurers sell those products. So if somebody comes door-to-door offering to sell you some kind of Medicare plan or Medigap plan, just shut the front door and call your local law enforcement because it's likely a scam.
That is too bad. And, you know, now a lot of seniors are probably starting to think about head to warmer locations during the wintertime. And is that part of that vacation business or is it? Michelle?
Well, it's both. It can be that they're looking for discounted rates to get there and could be taken in by one of them, or it's just that they have a place they regularly go to and need to think about how they get there and what they do to shut down here in the state and what they need to do to set themselves up there, remembering that if they've been gone and they have devices down there, they need to make sure that they're updating them to the latest security patches and before they start using that. And we're talking, you know, their Wi-Fi system and routers and even their cable TV, depending upon how they're set up that way. If they have a voice over internet phone because it's a package, making sure it's registered on the do not call list for that state if it exists or the national do not call list so they don't get those calls and setting up any kind of call blocking they can from scam artists as well that way. And while they're in transit, if they're stopping at the coffee shop and need to check email and check in with family, that they're being very secure about information they're exchanging, the forwarding of their mail, so no one could attempt identity theft, that's secure. Still checking your credit reports throughout the year when you're on a mobile, that you're not just doing these things when you're at your permanent residence, you're keeping it in mind, and that all depends on how long you know, you're at the other place, if it's a couple weeks of vacation, or are you there for 4, 5, 6 months? So keeping those things in mind.
And we have lots of callers online and some emails as well. Donald wondered about the IRS phone scam. Can you tell us how that's going? Has that died down, Sandy?
Yeah, that's been one of the most pervasive scams that we've seen over the last couple of years, maybe 2.5 years, and this is where you'll get a call, usually a recorded message, sometimes from a live person saying, I'm from the IRS, you're in big trouble, you need to pay us right now. And they'll ask for a credit card number, or they may ask for a prepaid debit card number. Lately, they've been asking for an iTunes gift card number. So obviously, the IRS does not ask for payment in with iTunes cards. We have had some good progress lately. I think last time I was here, I mentioned that the police in India had raided a business and arrested a lot of people. And this was an operation that was bringing in $150,000 a day ripping off American consumers. And then just a couple of weeks ago, the Department of Justice and FBI, Homeland Security, and a number of U.S. federal agencies arrested people here and working with other countries made further arrests. And so you can see how these operations can be transnational in nature, and it makes it very complex and complicated to figure out who's making the calls so they can be arrested.
And then you wonder if the people making the calls are really, I mean, they're crooks in a way, but there may be somebody overall in charge who's not even in the building that is gathering in a lot of the money. So they, as you've said in the past, a lot of times, you'll shut somebody down, but then a few days later they open up in some new area with new people and new ideas.
Right. It makes it very, very difficult from an enforcement perspective to put a stop to it.
Now, David in Menominee Falls has a question, so let's go there. David, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have been on the receiving end of those calls from India purporting to be IRS and gotten live calls where I've gotten people who got very rude and actually cursed me out, pretty blue language. Of course, I didn't bite on it, so I was safe that way. But my question is, I'm registered with the Do Not Call list, and I must admit that since the arrest in India, the calls have pretty much stopped, all of them. However, I know it's going to start up again. What good is the Do Not Call list if they can get around it anyway? Mm-hmm. What kind of penalties are there if someone violates that Do Not Call list? Because it's not only the perpetrators out of India, but it's also our own homegrown
crooks.
Crooks.
Yeah, there we go, David. Well, Michelle, do you have a comment?
Well, sure. The Do Not Call list, both the state and the national, is there and in place to let consumers signify that they do not want to receive solicitations from legitimate businesses and telemarketers. What's happening with the IRS calls and many of these other scams that we talk about is they often are not trying to sell you something. They're trying to intimidate you and have you turn over finances, money, iTunes gift cards, or your personally identifiable information. They're just there to basically rob you of something, and they're not in a legitimate business, so they're not registering their company, they're not following the message that the consumer is signaling of, I don't want to receive solicitations. There are some companies that either make mistakes and aren't following the law or that disregard the law, and those we follow up on and take our own enforcement actions. We investigate those companies, we get them registered, that sort of thing, and we do have civil forfeitures that we've settled many cases in those regards. But often the types of calls we're talking about on the show, they're not legitimate. They're, as you said, crooks, Larry, and so they're just trying to rob you of something, and that no list is going to stop that. And so we talk about just hang up and don't engage, especially if they start with asking you to turn over money or do any kind of intimidation.
And I would think that, just thinking about it now, the number of calls without the Do Not Call list I'm pretty sure we'd be getting a lot more calls. Wouldn't you guess, Sandy?
Right. The way our law works, companies, and these are legitimate businesses that want to telemarket, have to register with us, and they pay a fee of about $20,000 usually to be able to legally telemarket here. And then they get the list of phone numbers that are on that do not call list, and they're prohibited from calling those numbers. But if you look at the kinds of companies that are registered, they're credit card companies, banks and other financial institutions, insurance companies, and it goes on and on. And those are the calls that you would be receiving if your number was not on the do not call list.
Okay, there you go. So there's some good, there's a lot of good actually out of the do not call list, but if you're a crook and you can get around the system, you're going to do it.
Yeah, and as we've talked a lot about this over the years, but as technology has improved, it's unfortunately made it very easy for criminals from anywhere in the world to call you for fractions of a penny per call.
Karen in Eagle River, you're next. Thanks, Karen, for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been receiving a call from a person who says he is from Consumer Protection. And he said he was Officer Garcia. So, of course, I kind of thought, well, maybe at least I'll listen to him. Well, then he went on to say that I had sent some money to Publishers Clearinghouse. So I asked him if he was part of Publishers Clearinghouse, and he said yes, that he was, and that I had won second prize. And the second prize was $625,000. And I said, well, I don't remember sending anything to Publishers Clearinghouse, but he said I had, so I let that go. I did tell him that I thought he was a scam, and he tried to tell me that he was not a scam, that if I wanted to, he would give me a phone number, and I could call that number and verify. Well, I don't know how stupid he thought I was. Because I can just imagine the phone number that it was probably the kid, the guy sitting next to him.
Was it but he did say it was from Consumer Protection?
Yes. Something to do with Holiday. And I don't know if it's Holiday Consumer Protection or if Holiday is the name of his company that he works for. I'm really not sure.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Well, that's interesting.
Guess it was only a matter of time.
No. Officer Garcia does not work for Michelle or me. So I've been seeing the Publishers Clearinghouse commercials on TV encouraging people to register for the big drawing. And it seems like every year about this time, these kinds of complaints spike. So criminals know that the sweepstakes drawing is coming up and everybody wants to be the big winner, you know. So that part of it is not surprising. But this consumer protection angle is very interesting, and it's something that we'll want to follow up on and warn people that it's not us that's calling you.
Thanks so much, Karen, for calling. I appreciate your call. I want to give some others a chance to join in, and we have some open lines. Get you on pretty quickly, too. If you have a question, comment, or experience to share, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. KP Whaley, our on-air producer today here on the IdeasNet. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn talks with the author of a book on Wisconsin native and entertainment legend Orson Welles. Right now, we're taking a look at some consumer scam issues with our guests Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Christine in Franklin has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Christine. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Actually, I have three things. One, the caller block I have tried. They have so many different numbers they're calling from, it didn't work for me.
Ah.
And then I have a voicemail from the IRS. They say they're from the IRS that are suing me over my taxes, which is impossible. And then also a computer scam where they're telling me that, and I'm sure a lot of people have gotten this, where they're telling me that I have a virus on my computer, and they have like a Philippine-type accent, and it's always the same accent, and you can hear a lot of people in the background doing the same thing. They have called me, I bet, at least 50 times over the last 6-7 years. They used to say they were from a company that you could never understand, even when they repeated it. Now they've gotten so bold that they're saying they're from one of our local companies. I don't know if I should say it or not.
But
a large company.
Okay.
I was begging them to quit calling me. I said, I know this is a scam. I am a senior. I'm disabled. And after I was having surgery, they were still calling me, and I just, it was very difficult for me.
I can understand why, Christine. Thanks so much for calling. Maybe we can get a response. Sandy, do you want to?
Yeah, that computer scam or tech support scam is another very, very common phone call that people are reporting to us. And that's another one that's been very common over the last couple of years. And they usually say they're from Microsoft or a security company like Norton or Symantec or something like that. What our advice is to not engage with these people, because once you start talking to them, they will see that you are potentially vulnerable and willing to engage, so they will keep calling back, and it can become harassing. So just hang up. Don't feel like you have to be polite because they want to steal your money. Something else that we've seen just recently on this tech support scam is that people are reporting getting a pop-up window saying there's a problem with your computer and it'll give a phone number to call. This is also a scam. And if you get that pop-up window, just shut down.
Shut your computer down.
Yeah, just shut down, Control-Alt-Delete or Apple, whatever that command is. But what is people always want to know, how did that happen? In most cases, it's that you have entered a URL in incorrectly. For instance, you might be trying to go to Facebook and you get one letter off. Well, these crooks have bought all the domains they can possibly buy, and then they use those for, you know, fraudulent purposes. So when you're typing in a URL into your window, browser window, check to make sure that the spelling is correct. And then once you land on the place that you are intending to go to, check the browser window again to make absolutely sure that you're at where you think you are.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get these calls, too, and I don't answer them. And then if they leave, you know, they never leave a message. At least I haven't had them leave a message. So if they don't leave a message, then I block the call.
Yeah, and you don't have to say anything to him. Just as soon as you know what's going on, just hang up.
Yeah. Good advice, Christine. Don't even pick up, and hopefully you can identify, and hopefully you have a block system on your phone or able to block calls. But if you don't pick up, they're not going to leave a message. If they're not legitimate, they won't leave a message. That's pretty much all there is to it. Good luck. Thank you so much. I'm sorry for the... Let's see. Did we get everything that she brought up? I think we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we did. Anthony in Fond du Lac, it's your turn. Hi, Anthony. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for listening. You may have covered this. I just tuned in, and I just need to know what to do about this. I'm on both no-call lists, Wisconsin and U.S., and I'm getting this call sometimes 4 or 5 times a day. From the same people using different numbers, different states, cities, and it's a recording saying I've qualified for a $250,000 business loan. It's the same people, and I've hung up, I've done everything, they still keep calling, so I just need to know what to do about, because they're using different numbers, as I said, from different locations, what to do about this to shut these people up.
don't pick up the phone, I suppose. Michelle, is that what you would recommend or what?
Yeah, it's a combination depending upon the type of phone system he has. There are some tools available so they can kind of collect the numbers and do some blocking that way. There's the Nomo Robo tool that we've talked about for voice over internet. You can contact your service provider. If it's a wireless phone, you can program some blocking and do blocking that way. There are apps you can purchase, and then there's also devices you can purchase to hook up to traditional phones that way. It's a phone number collection system where it just keeps taking, and because they do, they change their numbers, they put different appearances on the caller ID than what they're calling from, whether it be a name or the phone number. So it's very difficult to manage and keep up with, but not engaging, not picking up, hanging up if you have picked up are the ways, and they'll eventually give up as well.
All right. Good luck. Thank you.
You can't block them because it's always a different number, but okay, I'll try that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I block that number just in case it pops up again. I just block it. Jonah in Whitewater, your turn. Hi, Jonah. Thanks for calling.
Hey there, Larry. Love your show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm an IT professional working out of southeastern Wisconsin, and I just kind of wanted to talk about those computer scams a little more. We see them in our shop every day, and the biggest advice I can ever give to someone is don't call the phone numbers on those pop-ups. Never, ever let someone remote into your machine unless it's your local computer shop, because most of those people are just after your banking passwords and whatnot. And never trust anything that says Microsoft certified. That's really the biggest thing. And really just try to go for things that are, when you're buying software, go for things that are well-known and popular, because a lot of the free or extremely cheap things are fake programs that are really out to harm you in the end.
And you see that all the time in your shop, Jonah?
Nearly every day. In fact, we even had a customer today who were pretty sure their bank passwords were stolen because there's some fraudulent activity they're seeing.
Oh, boy. Well, I think some good advice there, Michelle.
Yeah, nothing to disagree with at all there. I mean, and that's from the professional who's seen it on the on the back end once consumers have engaged, too. So it whether it pops up on your computer or it calls through your phone, if you don't need it, you know, you weren't out in search of it, don't fall for it, you know, type situation just because they're contacting you about it.
Jonah, thanks so much. Appreciate the call. Lance in Waupun, your turn. Hi, Lance.
Hi. This is a very current scam. This morning I was on Facebook, and a link came on saying that Harrison Ford had died, which is not true. But I clicked on the link because I like Harrison Ford, and it took me to this fake Microsoft website saying that all of my computer information had been compromised and I need to call them and contact them immediately. I tried clicking out of the window because I heard on your show a number of months ago about some lady who also clicked onto this website and it was a scam. So I wound up having to turn off the computer to get out of this window because it wouldn't let me out of it once I was in there. Luckily, I didn't click, you know, call the number that they had on there and I didn't click on the website, but I'm sure there's a lot of people on Facebook this morning who are going to see that, well, you know, Harrison Ford has died. Don't click on that link.
Good. And you did exactly the right thing by turning your computer off.
I couldn't get out of the window. I clicked on the little X. It wouldn't let me out.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Michelle.
He said it. You said exactly the right thing, that force shutdown on your system. And we talk about making sure your computer's secure, do the scans, but backing it up as well. So if something does happen where you fall for one of these, you have a secure backup of your computer that's not infected if something happens and you did click on that and gave away access. But force shut down and start over. Don't go back to that place. But Sandy talked about the redirection aspect of the scam, where you mistype something and these scammers are buying up all the other variations of a website. But then there's also the imposter aspect of it, where they're setting up false information, they're impersonating someone else and trying to redirect you through the imposter, that impersonation aspect, or misleading information that everyone will care about. We were talking last week with some law enforcement professionals, and one of the examples dated, you know, very fascinated with Paris Hilton and how you could get to a pop-up through trying to find out what's happened to Paris Hilton type situation. Yeah. And so this is someone who everybody cares about and likes the movies, very popular, and it's another way to misdirect you.
Yeah, and Lance, I did the same thing, but not with Harrison Ford. There was one on Tiger Woods, something about Tiger Woods, and I went and clicked on that. Oh, shucks. As soon as I did it, I thought, oh. So I shut the computer off and started all over again and got rid of it. But it was just on Facebook, and it was some story about Tiger Woods, I thought, oh, my goodness, I've got to find this.
Right, know. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, exactly the same thing.
It's really important, too, in this aspect, to keep your computer as clean as possible, your digital footprint, because they're out there farming for data about you in the way of direct marketing and direct scamming, too. Make sure you're cleaning out your browser history and keeping that as clean as possible so there isn't any direct scam marketing happening to you, because, Larry, you like golfing.
Yeah, so. That's exactly right. Yeah, so that's probably why that popped up, because they had something that I had been to before about golfing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lance. Appreciate the call. I'd kind of forgotten about the Tiger Woods episode. Now we got Harrison Ford, that episode. Well, let's go to David in Madison. David, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I've seen this scam pop up a couple times in the past 6 months on Craigslist, and Craigslist is a great site for I've bought many vehicles through very honest people, but you know, there are obviously also some folks trying to get you know, something out of you. This is something where it's a vehicle that's priced, you know, well under, and when I've reached out to the seller through email, they launch into this whole story about how they're stationed in Utah, and they're getting relocated to Alaska or something, and they can't bring this vehicle with them. And sometimes I've seen it twice, where one time it was them themselves, or another time they said that they were selling for a family member, but they can ship the vehicle to you because the relocation from the military, they have these benefits and all that. And I was in the military. I was in the Army, and so I knew better than that, you know. And especially with a vehicle that's priced so far under comparable vehicles, and I knew something was up. And I've seen it twice now in the past 6 months.
So another one to watch out for, Sandy.
Yeah, that's very typical of Craigslist fraud, and it's interesting that a lot of these crooks who are behind these scams. They always say they're with the military. Sometimes they say they're stationed overseas to give the scam a sense of legitimacy, you know, because everybody wants to help out somebody who's in service. So we always recommend, before you do business on Craigslist, read through the fraud section of the website so you're up to date on the latest types of Craigslist scams. Because if you're looking at buying a vehicle and you get scammed on that, you could potentially be out tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Appreciate the call very much. Roberta in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was going to say your comment about on the computer of being careful how you enter the website or whatever you're searching for.
Yep.
The other day I made a mistake and called my insurance company, and their phone number started with a toll-free 888, but I wasn't paying attention. I dialed 1-800 and then their phone number. And I ended up with some sort of a company that does medical alert thing that you wear around your neck. And I was just as confused and said that I had won this free subscription to their service. Of course, what I get is a free box and not the service. I had to pay for it for $30. Well, I couldn't understand why my insurance company was promoting this. But, you know, just as being careless on the computer and putting in the wrong, you know, website name, you can do that with your, you know, telephone, too. And I, unfortunately, I think I ended up with somebody who was just as perplexed at my call as I was. But when she asked me for my name and my birth date, was, you know, that was where I had to stop and say, I think maybe I better check, you know.
Check the number. Well, that's a good point. And there's that 800 or 888, and it's pretty easy to, you know, you're pushing those buttons. You just push 800 because that's what you normally is in your mind.
Right. That's what was the original 800 number.
Yeah.
So, the same way that the scammers are buying up the like websites and that information, they're doing the same thing with the phone numbers and that whole misdirection, accidental dial type situation and being an imposter behind the scenes. In this case, luckily, Roberta, it wasn't a false insurance company. It was kind of a completely different product. But I'd like it if you'd be willing to call our office and report that through a consumer complaint, because there are a number of medical device scams out there, and there are some legitimate medical device companies as well. So we'd want to follow up with that, because the tip for me is that you won something, but yet they weren't expecting your call. So if you'd call 1-800-422-7128, you'll reach Consumer Protection, and they can send you out a complaint form if you would be willing to fill that out for us.
It's 800?
It is. 1-800-422-7128.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And, of course, you can go online and file a complaint as well. In Roberta's case, she's right at the phone. She's probably going to call the 800 number, but there's an online...
There is.
Well.
You can go to our website at datcp.wi.gov, and those are our department initials. So Department Agriculture Trade Consumer Protection, datcp.wi.gov.
And then go to...
You'll see on the left-hand side there's a complaint, or you can go under consumer as well, and you'll be able to file a consumer complaint.
There we go. Thanks again, Roberta. Pat in Milwaukee has something for us. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you. Great information today, Roberta and Larry. On Facebook today, I was sent some information that Aldi has an anniversary, and hurry up because you can get one $250 gift card. They are giving away 1,000. All you need to do is like them, post their ad on your Facebook page, and of course send it to 15 friends, and hurry because there's a limited number left. That doesn't sound real kosher, because you're giving away a lot of information.
Yeah, usually you'll be taken to some screens that will ask for personal information. It may ask for things like your annual income, the amount of debt you hold, and who's behind this is some kind of marketing firm. It may be a criminal type operation, or it could just be a lead generator marketing company that's gathering as much data as they can about you, because they can then sell that information to other companies. So that's really something to watch for, and they will often promise a free gift card to Walmart or Best Buy and now Aldi, but you will fill in all that information about yourself and get all the way to the end of the screens, and there will be no free gift card at the end. I can promise you that. There may be one of those pop-up, there's something wrong with your computer windows, but you probably are not going to get a free gift card.
Yeah, there you go.
I think so.
All right, I don't think so either. Thanks, Pat. Thank you for calling. Vivian in Green Bay. Hello.
Hi, this has to do with self-protection for the elderly phone calls. I misdialed, was surprised, didn't leave a message, didn't think about it. I got a call back from the person that I inadvertently called, and she wanted to know who I was and why I called her. And, of course, that was my opportunity to apologize. And then later I called her back and said, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing this because your name came up. Your phone number came up. I could tell that you were an elderly woman. It turns out she was in her 90s. But many of us want a conclusion. We want to know who called us, why they called us. And I think for our own protection, we have to let that curiosity go. Just ignore.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a good idea, Vivian. I got a phone, and I think this came up maybe last time you were on. I got one where they left a message, but it was only a piece of the message. It sounded like it had, you know, there'd been a problem. And so it was tempting to call that one back, but then I thought, you know what? That's probably a pretty good scam. You know, because you get some information, Sandy, and
I've had that call too, a couple of variations, and you know they are very, very good at flipping our buttons to get us to call them back. And you know these scams we've talked about a lot about how they will evolve, and they'll use different attention-getting gimmicks. Like for a while, they were making people's caller ID look only a couple digits different than their own phone number. And of course, when you see something like that, you pick up.
Yeah.
So they are ingenious at tripping our triggers and getting us to respond to their pitches.
Yeah. Thanks again for that call. And Katie in Burlington, we'll go to you next. Hi, Katie.
It's funny. I was telling the person when I called in that I just got scammed last night, and I thought, oh, I have to call into Larry Mueller, so, and then you had it today. So. But somebody called, it was a foreign voice, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it was from Amazon Verification, and they said, we have your credit card number and those last two digits, and it was correct. It was what my last two digits are. And they said, call back for verification. And so what I do is anytime, even I always call directly to Amazon, not with that number. I call another, you know, what the number is on the website.
Yeah.
And then I just ask them, hey, what's that about? And they said, we never called you. So, and then I looked the number up online. I did like a search of that number, and then I looked down a couple, and it said somebody had the same thing. So I don't know if you're finding that that's common, but it's scary because a lot of people have Amazon accounts.
Sure, absolutely.
No, and credit cards, and yeah. Then forget the last two digits.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Michelle, comment?
No, that's exactly right. If you are left a message and you're concerned about what that message is, you don't want to just let it be because it's your credit card company or it's your bank, so they say. Use reliable information. Go get your bill and call the phone number from your bill. Go look, get your credit card and call the number on the back of the credit card. Don't even look up the number online because, again, we've been talking about the misdirection that can happen. And if you type something wrong, people post ads and you might miss that and you're actually calling someone else as well. Use your reliable information to make contact and ask about it. And they'll direct you if there's something going on with your account that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Katie. Appreciate the call. Talking consumer protection issues today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. You can join in. One or two lines open for you at 1-800-642-1234 or go ahead and email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at consumer scam issues with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We'll go back to the phones right away. All our lines are filled right now. And Susan and Stevens Point, thank you for waiting.
Well, hello, Larry. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you to your guests. I've been getting on my computer a notice. It looks innocuous, a mail delivery system. It's telling me that there's some email that I tried to send out that just hasn't worked, and they'll keep trying. So I looked at the email address, and of course I did not send that out to anyone. And it says at the bottom that it tried now for 360 hours, and it will keep trying up to a certain point in time, at which it will send the email back to me. And I'm just worried that very soon email will be come into my system and really make trouble. So I'm wondering if your guests have heard about this scam or scheme.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I can think of a couple of things it might be. It may be some kind of phishing attempt where, you know, if there's a link that they want you to click, you know, it would lead you to some malicious website or download malicious software onto your system. The other thing is that your computer may have been hacked in some way, and some of this malicious software uses a desktop as kind of a robot to blast out emails, and that can happen without you knowing about it. So if you have a software security suite on your PC, I would certainly run that and do a deep clean. And another thing you can do is check with a computer, you know, a Geek Squad type business.
Maybe take it in to be cleaned somewhere.
Yeah. It's difficult to know without seeing the email and what it looks like.
Well, the last four, it's at something, something, then co.zw, which is very strange.
Something else you might want to do right away is change your password on your email.
I did do that with my
good.
Server company, yes.
Okay, good.
Good. But it might be worth, you know,
But it's still coming.
I'm no computer expert. I know a little bit, but it'd be one thing if you're really concerned, I'd take it. I have done this, taken mine into an IT person and let them clean it for me. And with good result, too.
Good.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. Mike in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. Somebody had called mentioning they had a call from a number, and then they called that person back, that number back, and it was a little old lady.
Yeah.
And I had the same thing. I had somebody who claimed to be a bill collector and was said I owed money and stuff, so I called the number back on a caller ID, and it was a little old lady who said she had gotten she sounded legitimate, and quite a few calls just like mine. It like, you know, just for a whole week or 2 weeks solid, just like 16 different people had called back and complained about it. But anyway, so I called your office, this about maybe a little less than a year ago, and they said, yeah, this is getting to be pretty common. It's called spoofing. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
And how do they, technologically, how do they get into somebody's phone number and use their phone to call out and make these calls?
They're not actually using the phone line of the person that the number represents. They're making it so your caller ID appearance shows something different than the number they're calling from. And I don't know the specifics on the technology, but there's lots of devices you can purchase to make this spoofing happen, to override caller ID appearances. You can put any company name out there that you want. Can put any phone number. Now, it's illegal in the state of Wisconsin to use spoofing to do that, for telemarketers to do that. So if we're able to catch that and prove that and have complaints about it and follow up and figure out who these people are, we'll pursue that enforcement. We always tell people, don't rely on what your caller ID says. You just can't trust it because technology is so advanced and allows it to be very easy for these scam artists to represent themselves as anyone they want to be.
Yeah.
Can I get one of these devices so when I call them back, they can't tell what number I'm calling from?
I'll stay silent. No. You know, we really encourage you not to engage, to not even do the callback. A legitimate collection practice has procedures under the Department of Financial Institutions to pursue a collection effort with you. It's not always through phone. If they do call, they have to leave very specific information and talk to the individual that they're trying to collect from. So generalized messages, I'd be, without any written notification, I'd be very skeptical about.
Yeah. About
okay. Well, not, it's good to understand how it's done. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Maggie from Madison emailed wondering why the political parties are not required to abide by the do not call list.
Well,
it's politics.
That's a common question, actually. The law itself says that this law applies to solicitations of property, goods, and services. So by definition, it doesn't include political calls, surveys, calls from charities. So the answer is those calls are not covered by the law at all.
Yeah, there we go. Kathy in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Kathy. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I absolutely love the show. I learn something every time. Thank you. I just wanted to add my 2 cents worth as to how I avoid these. First off, I don't register my phones on the do not call list because I think the bad guys probably buy them to get phone numbers. I set my answering machine to answer at 6 rings because the robocalls generally drop off after 4 rings, and I don't answer a line unless I recognize the caller ID, and I've not answered a political call, taken a survey, been told by the IRS that I owe money. It's peaceful. And I suggest that to my more than 400 clients as well, and they all thank me.
Ah. Well, what do you think?
I think that sounds like a great plan. Sometimes people who are home during the day can't stand listening to their phone ring, and that can be a problem. But we do recommend letting your calls go to voicemail, you know, unless you recognize the number as someone you know. Just let it go to voicemail, and if it's somebody who really needs to talk to you, they'll leave a message. The robocallers rarely do.
I have some friends who they always say, well, look, I'm on 6 rings. It's going to be, if you're going to leave a message, make sure you wait at least through 6 rings. And they're doing it for exactly that same mm-hmm. reason.
Great tip. I know I don't think I could handle it, but that's a great tip.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate the call. And Catherine in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Catherine.
Hi there. I just wanted to share my experiences with you. I have to let you know straight off, I live way under the radar, so I do not have a computer or any of that stuff. And yet I get calls maybe once a month or so from somebody saying that my computer is showing these problems. And at first I started out by saying I don't have a computer and I hang up. And then finally I decided, because I got a lot of time on my hands, I decided to play along with them. So I say, oh, I'm so glad you called. I said, and what is your name? And I make them say their name to me. And I make them spell it out. What's your first name? What's your last name? And I write this all down. I said, where are you from again? And this last one said, from Windows. I said, oh, and what's the problem? What's the issue? And he says, well, our computers show that you have some hacking going on, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, my. And I just get all upset. I say, geez, I'm so glad you called. And I asked, where are you calling from? And the one guy said he was calling from Texas and then from India. And I said, and what's the problem again? They said, and what do you want me to do? You want me to go where on my computer and do what and push what button? And I start laughing. And then they get mad. They say, why are you laughing at me? And I laugh and laugh and laugh. And I just keep engaging them in a conversation. And finally, they hang up on me.
You have time on your hands, Catherine.
Yeah, some people really get a kick out of doing this. And just realize, however, that any kind of information they can pick up about you, including the fact that you're willing to chat with people who are criminals over the phone, will probably be sold to other criminals. So if the calls you start to get increase or become more threatening, you know, that's something that you'll have to deal with when that happens. So that's why we recommend that people not engage.
Well, we had on this show, I don't know, it was like a few months back, somebody had done that with the person, and then the police showed up at his house.
Right. I remember that caller.
Because that person that he'd engaged with went and called the local police and said there was some problem at his house.
Right, yeah. These are criminals that you're engaging with. So
be careful.
Just because it's over the phone and you don't know where they're located, they still, you know, they don't always have the best of intentions.
Yeah, and one of the unfortunate trends we've seen over the past 2 or 3 years is that the calls have gotten more threatening and harassing as time goes on. So
be careful, Catherine.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you for letting me know that.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, my goodness me. There's all kinds of potential bad things happening over and above being scammed, I guess. And we've got lots more questions here coming up. We've got something on auction.com scamming. We've got something on identity stolen email from Wells Fargo. Somebody will learn some more about that. But first, we're going to take a look at the news. Just to remind you, Michelle Reinen is director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection with our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy Chalmers directs the she's the Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We'll take a look at the news, and then we'll be right back with more. They'll be here till 12:30. Stay with us. Taking a look at consumer scam issues today, you know, there's always something new to talk about when it comes to scams and fraud, unfortunately. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Always great to have them along. I think we've got one open line at 1-800-642-1234. Go ahead and email us as well at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Let's go to George in Wind Lake next. Hi, George. Thank you for calling.
Larry. How you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Good. Got a kind of a weird situation going on. I'll explain it as quick as I can. I won't take up all your time. My wife and I were looking for a condo to purchase, and we found one located near us, and we were quite interested in it. It was listed by a realtor. So we called the realtor, and she informed us that it was not available to go inside because it was occupied. I understood that. It was a foreclosure, not a problem. So we thought about it for a couple days, did all our due diligence, did a preliminary title report and everything to make sure everything was okay. And we called and offered her over asking price, and she said she couldn't do anything about it because it was going to auction.com. That's what the bank wanted to do. We said, okay, all new to us, so we looked up auction.com and tried to figure out what's going on. So we signed up to bid on the property, and the first time it went up for bid, this was about 2.5 weeks ago, we tried to buy it, but it did not reach its reserve price. So I called the realtor again, and she said it's still out of her hands, that it's going back on auction.com. And I offered more money than what they were asking again, and that she couldn't do anything about it, which I understood. So yesterday we tried to buy the property again, and it's a cash offer only, which is fine. That's not a problem. So we were bidding on it. And I forgot to tell you, when you're bidding on it, if somebody bids in the last minute or two, it gives you an opportunity for another 2 minutes to rebid in case somebody sneaks in right at the end, which that's kind of funny, but that's how they do it. So I bid on it all morning, and it reached its reserve price. So the reserve was off, so it said I was the highest bidder up until the last 2 seconds of the auction, I was the highest bidder. And at 2 seconds, I didn't have time to react quick enough. My daughter and my wife were standing there watching us. Somebody bid an additional bid, and it said, you've been outbid, and it went offline. It was gone. And then I got a phone call from my realtor who was watching this and saw the same exact thing. And she said she's never seen anything like that. So we called the company, and they said that I didn't refresh my server, which was a lie because it was a live auction. The clock was ticking. Everything was working right. And it kept showing I was the highest bidder up until 2 seconds left. Boom, it was gone. And I couldn't buy the property then.
Hmm.
It was absolute. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It was crazy.
So, and you were refreshing your, well, you didn't have to because it was live and going
on. It was live, exactly. The clock was ticking down. They just made that up.
Hmm. Well, that's one I haven't heard. I mean, I understand actually from watching one of the TV shows on the home channel. There's a show where people buy those homes and they have to pay cash up front, and they show up for a live auction sometimes. And I haven't heard about it being done online. So, you guys have anything on that one?
Well, real estate aspects as far as the agents and that is handled by the Department of Safety and Professional Services, and auctioneering is the same place where they get their registrations. I don't know. I would think they maybe oversee the auctioneer, the website, because it's functioning as an auctioneer, but there may be jurisdictional issues. I'm not certain, but that's where I would start to have George call for assistance.
Where would he go again?
The Department of Safety and Professional Services for the state of Wisconsin. I don't have their phone number, but if he went on to their website, I'm sure he could find a number.
Safety and Professional Services.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll try and look that number up for you, George, and see if we can come up with it. Maybe KP can find it here, or somehow we'll get that number before the end of the show, or we'll do our best to get it. So hang in there, and it's probably worth following up for sure.
Yeah, I would think just to see what they may be able to do in that regards.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, and real quickly, another thing about the property, the bank decided to lower the price after it went up for auction again, and I was offering quite a bit more than they lowered the price to, which I found very strange.
Yeah, that is really, really weird if you ask me, George. So please do follow up with the Department of Safety
and Professional Services.
And Professional Services. There you go. And thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, Colleen in Door County, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm calling about something totally different. My daughter just received a couple weeks ago an email from Wells Fargo telling her that she had, you know, a credit card had been opened up in her name. And she does not have any account with Wells Fargo. So they started checking a little farther. They found out my son-in-law, his identity had been stolen. They'd gone through the credit bureau, and I don't know how they get it. Well, to make a long story short, my daughter realized they had not received any mail in 3 days, so they went directly to the post office, and they said, oh, we have it. We're holding it to forward it. So I think they got there just in time to slow this down. They still are going to have to fight through some of the, you know, getting some of this stuff taken down, because now they found out she had 3 credit cards. I don't know how many my son-in-law had. So they went and changed something on their account. So, you know, they put a freeze or whatever on. My question is, she hasn't been able to get through the credit bureau to protect the kids. They have 3 children, their social security numbers. She can't get a voice to talk to. Is there somebody she can talk to?
Okay. Michelle?
Actually, in Wisconsin, we have the Child Protection Act, which is a security freeze for children's accounts, because children don't have accounts and you can have them create one. We have the information on our website, because that needs to all be done in paper, in person, because of the documents that you need to supply.
Okay.
So if you go to the DATCP.wi.gov.
DA what?
TCP.
TCP.wi.gov.
Mm-hmm. Then you can go to our, under the consumer tab, there'll be fact sheets, mm-hmm. and you can, in the identity theft section, get the child, the security freeze information.
Oh, okay.
They'll have both the adult and child information on that fact sheet.
Okay, well, they took care of theirs, but she has been, had trouble to get through to anybody to talk to about the kids. So.
Yep. Yeah, we have that, and we kind of have like a sample letter with that that you can fill out and submit.
But she has to do that in person.
You have to do it in writing because you have to supply documentation that shows you're the guardian of the child, the parent.
Okay. All right. Great.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for that information.
Yeah.
You're
thanks.
Welcome.
Thanks so much for calling. Oh, it can be a nightmare, huh? Susan in Oshkosh. Thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello. Wonderful show. I was calling about credit freezes and credit checks.
Sure.
Joy Cardian and Kevin McKinley gave me a wonderful booklet to how to protect myself financially. And so I was kind of working through all that stuff. And I came up with a couple of surprises that I wanted to share. I do the credit check quarterly for, or not quarterly, every three, you know, if there are three of them. So I space them out.
Yeah.
And I did it 1 year. And then the next year, it occurred to me, I have to do that for me and my spouse. We're not connected on those.
Right.
So you have to check both of those.
Yes.
And then I put the credit freeze on, which was suggested. I don't have, you know, we're not anticipating applying for credit soon, so this was a good choice for us. And here again, it was, you know, it was $10 each, but we had to do each of us. So I had to go through all of the three credit agencies for both me and my spouse. And I don't know, it just didn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
So I have the credit freeze on all of these accounts. And I just recently applied for Obamacare, and mm-hmm. they could not verify my identity when I tried to apply online. And so I had to call their company. The company that they're using for the credit thing is Experian. And so I called them, and they said because I have the credit freeze on my account, I have to... You know, I have to verify my identity through calling or some other method. I couldn't use my iPad to do that. So, although that, I mean, it was sort of frustrating because they don't tell you that that's why. But
yeah.
Anyway, I called them and they were very good about fixing me up. And then I had to call Obamacare because they also had the same problem, and they were very good about fixing that up, and so
it all worked out.
It did all work out, but it was a mystery and frustrating while it was occurring.
Oh.
When they weren't telling me why.
Why they weren't getting it.
I do feel safer having that credit freeze on my account because I don't know. It just seems like people are.
Yeah, you never know, do you, Sandy?
Yeah, that she's a very responsible consumer, and Kevin McCarthy's great. I like listening to him, too. We do recommend that everybody at least consider putting a credit freeze on their credit reports because it has the effect of locking down your credit, so somebody can't open up an account without your knowledge. And as she explained, it does cost $10 per credit reporting agency. But to me, that's cheaper than buying, you know, some kind of monthly monitoring service. And it really gives peace of mind.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, you can just lift it whenever you want to. I mean, you have to pay or something. But, you know, you can just, you know, you can always
lift it whenever you want to.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
I have just one final suggestion, that if you're concerned about people getting into your computer when you're not, you know, on it, if you just unplug that cable, it can't get on there.
Exactly right. I think she's right. Is that, that's, how could they do it?
Unless you're hooked up to a Wi-Fi constantly or something in that regards. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you so much, Susan.
But at the very least, make sure that your firewall is on.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Always. Thanks, Susan. Tom and Eau Claire, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey, good afternoon. I don't know if you are consumers of alcohol or not, but I enjoy a beer and a bottle of liquor every once in a while, and these mail-in rebates that you can submit for these different products. I have found probably over the last 12 months or maybe even longer, about 25% of the time, you'll get an email back or a postcard in the mail saying you did not submit all the proper documents or it wasn't complete for this or that reason. And then, you know, if you're persistent about it, you call them up and, we do see that you did submit it correctly. We'll get this processed right away. It seems like it's just a scam so that they don't have to pay their rebate, and assuming that people will just ignore it and forget about it and not follow up and be persistent. I was wondering if you've had any feedback about that.
No.
Some companies make it more difficult to achieve the rebate. Others make it a very simplistic process. So keeping your documentation, following the instructions they give you to the letter of what they're asking you, every single thing is they want it to be. And if you've done that and you're not getting a response or getting your rebate, filing a complaint with us, because if they've promoted it and you've met their obligations, it's part of the solicitation and they need to honor the rebate. So you can follow up by filing a complaint at Consumer Protection if you're not getting the rebates.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate the call. And that could apply not only to beer and spirits, it can apply to a lot of different things.
Yes.
Shoes, whatever. Julie in Woodstock, your turn. Hi, Julie.
Hi, thanks for this program. Wow, just waiting to ask my question. I've learned a lot. I wanted to share with you an experience that I haven't heard anybody else so far share, and this was related to eBay. I was bidding on a fairly high-priced technical item, and didn't get the item, but then I got an email that was very, very real looking with all of the eBay logos and everything, that said, we noticed you bid on this, the winning bidder has fallen through, so we're letting you know you have a second chance. It looked very real. It had a link in the email, which I made the mistake of clicking. And it took me to a very real-looking page where it gave me the opportunity to buy it now, which I did. And unfortunately, I didn't catch that it had changed from a legitimate PayPal link to a Western Union link. And I ended up sending quite a bit of money to through Western Union, and, of course, it was a fraud. And so that taught me that you never click on the link that's in the email. Go back to your eBay account and go in legitimately, and which if I had done, I would have seen that the item had been sold and removed. When I submitted the whole complaint to eBay, there was nothing they could do about it. They did collect quite a bit of data from me and do a very obvious job of following up, but it never amounted to anything.
Oh, I'm sorry, Julie.
Well, it was a good live and learn. But, I mean, I learned two things, which was, first of all, from now on, I bid on things that only go through PayPal. And secondly, if I get an email about an item, whether it was eBay or it was Craigslist or any other thing that I've bought, no matter what route I've purchased it through, if I get an email about that item with a link embedded in it, I never click it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you think about the millions and millions of people doing business on eBay, that's very attractive to criminals to try to get an oar in the water. So similar to Craigslist, before you do business on eBay, read through their fraud FAQs and just make sure you know what some of the common things out there are so you're better equipped to identify fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the program.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. Appreciate it. Expensive lesson there. George in Chippewa Falls, your turn. Hi, George.
Good morning. First of all, I'm a licensed auctioneer, and I'm a licensed real estate broker. I've been a real estate broker since the cave ages, and I've I've done real estate auctions for about 25 years. In regard to a previous call.
Yeah.
I've gone off and on auction.com, but I'm assuming what happened, they operate similar to what eBay does. there is a buy it now price. And I'm assuming that's what happened. So what he did, he was not, somebody else bid and hit that buy it now price. Automatically, that would be the buyer of that property. So that's, I'm pretty sure that's what happened here. In regard to the other side of it, him not getting the property and so on, I have on my website anti-sniping software, meaning that if, in fact, a bid is received, and I set this within the last 15 minutes of the auction, end of the auction, there's an auto-extend for another 15 minutes. And that then, it's automatic. It cuts any sniping out. So I think all of these auctions running in that same manner.
Good to know. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, so buy it now. You can buy it now for this price. You click that button, you bought it at that price.
Yeah, I assume that there were terms disclosed before mm-hmm. the earlier caller entered into the transaction. We just don't know that part of it.
Yeah. Thanks, George. Appreciate it. Judy in Lodi, your turn. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Larry and your guest. I received a card in the mail from called iCare, C-A-R-E. It has to do with Medicare, Medicaid, and it says where you can get a discount on everything and the same scenario when you sign up with anybody that pertains, because I'm on disability. And I'm just wondering if it's a scam or if it's a legitimate situation. The address is a regular address, return address.
And it's iCare, it's called?
I'm sorry, what?
It's called iCare?
Yeah, iCare. I, like an I, or I.
Yeah.
C-A-R-E.
Okay.
And I've never received anything like this, and it's now available in your county. Independent Care Health Plan, iCare, is a local longtime champion of whatever people needs, whatever, no extra cost.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's see what our experts have to say here. Sandy, do you want to take it?
Well, it's hard to know because we aren't experts in the Medicare, Medicaid arena, but every county has aging experts, and I can't remember their name. They work for the state of Wisconsin, and they're there to be an advocate for the aging. So if she could either call our hotline number and we could get her that information, or if Michelle can come up with the...
I want to say it's ADRC, but I don't remember what the name of it is. So yeah, call 1-800-422-7128.
7128.
And tell them that you would like the information for the aging in center in your county, and they'll help hook you up with that.
Yeah, and then they'll be able to give you that information in seconds.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah, and we have seen a lot of fraud involving these
discount cards. Yeah, so you got to be careful. So, Judy, thanks. You did well by calling. Appreciate your call. And, gee whiz, appreciate everybody's call. I'm sorry that, in fact, here's an eye care person coming up online, but we're out of time. We can't take that call. I hope Judy gets that taken care of and that you do not get scammed. So stay listening to this program. Our guests will be back on December 1st, and we'll do this all over again. Thank you so much, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. From the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have them along. And hey, tomorrow, Friday, so Garden Talk, Liz Freemuth, who goes by the name of the moniker, The Garden Hole, our guest.